Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
American, okay, that didn't work out. Anyway, greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Show. We're broadcasting live from the Plain Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is January 27th, 2022.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. If you have an emergency and need to talk to Dan on his cell, call him, let him know you're going to call 316, or text him, let him know you're going to call 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886.
What were you going to do? Say, call me to let me know you're going to call me?
Call me and let me know you're going to text me.
Oh, is that
I said it backwards. You can play it back and hear it. I'm pretty sure that's what I said.
Oh.
I have a problem reversing everything all the time. So, yeah, it kind of came out backwards, but yeah.
Well, that must be your Hebrew roots coming in.
Yeah, they need to text you and let you know they're going to call you on your cell. Okay, you can always find our breaking news, updates about the Wichita Mission Church and the radio program archives, and all of our contact information on our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay, folks, we're a national satellite radio program with simulcast live on the internet nationally. We was on YouTube, but now it's Twitch and some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. And let's thank our listening base, Mom. We're out.
It looks like we got worldwide places at like Australia, Melton, Australia, Akola, Indiana. India. Akola, India, Tomsk, the Russian Federation, Paris, France, and in the USA we have Independence, Kansas, Jacksonville, Florida, San Bernardino, California, and Long Beach, California. Kansas City remains the largest listener that listens to the podcast when it posts later tonight on branch.podomatic.com. And Paris, France comes in number two.
Okay, let me say something, folks. You know, there's a lot of cities that I'd like to mention, especially here in the United States. But I have a hard time mentioning them because of the fact that this new stat map that came out with branch.attic.com doesn't tell me, it just gives me the city name and a bunch of dots on the map. And so it's hard to tell for me, you know, unless I just recognize the city, what state it's in. So, by all means, feel free, please, text my phone, 619-4886, 316-619-4886. Let me know what city you're hailing from. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Kaplan at Brent77. We'll have a prayer, do a song, we'll get into the program. Got a lot of information for you. I started to say good information, but how is, you know, it's kind of hard to call some things good. You know
right.
What I mean? Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio goes according to your will, not our will, Father. So please give everyone out their ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. We'll have the song.
Fire on the mountain. Moses went to see the bush was burning with the flame by the power of God's glory, standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down and take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing, standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, but they had their sandals off and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing, standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield, but I in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing, standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing. Standing on holy ground. Are you standing, standing on holy ground?
Okay, well, it was almost like I pressed the wrong button. The song went out. I still thought it was singing. Anyway, where am I at in this? I got all kinds of things going on. First, I'm going to give you some good news. That's a change. Wisconsin already started the process to reclaim their electors. You know, it's got to go through several stages. They already passed a resolution to do it, so now it goes through. They're going to reclaim their electors. And Arizona today came out. And besides passing some election law stuff to stop them from being able to steal election again, they are about to do the same thing. You see, now supposedly, I'm just saying supposedly, Biden won by only 81,139 votes in four different states. That was the swing states. Okay, but in reality, it would have been a lot different. But this is the, you
know, their statistics.
That's her statistic.
Yes.
That's what statistically, that's what he won by in four states. Those were swing states, you know. Okay, so Nevada, there was 35,453. Wisconsin, 20,546. Georgia, 14,152. And Arizona, 10,988. Okay, so if Nevada, so this is half of, we need all four states to reclaim their electors, in other words, to change the election. So we've got Wisconsin and Arizona doing it. Anyway, we got Wisconsin and Arizona doing it. So Georgia, they've been talking about doing it, and Nevada, they've been off and on talking about doing it. But in all of those states, they proved there's enough proof to prove that more votes were either stolen or counted illegally or gathered illegally than what the actual state law would say. So they have a right to do it in all four states. Whether or not we need to pray that Georgia and Nevada go along and do it, then we can put Trump back in office. That will put Trump in office because the reason they recall their electors because they sent electors voting for Joe Biden. So if they recall those electors, that means they're going to resend electors for
Trump.
For President Trump.
Which is what he tried to get the vice president to do in the first day in place.
Right.
He turned yellow on him.
Because these four states all said at that point that they would recall their electors, you know, that they'd send alternate electors. Point of the matter, there's a lot of back and forth. Here's the deal. So we got two states doing it, and maybe by the other two states seeing them doing it, and realizing what kind of disaster that Biden's doing, you know, even trying to get us into war, then, you know, maybe it can be changed. A miracle can happen. It would be a miracle. Anyway, yeah, and he would only have, Franklin over there is telling us, well, Trump only had 2 years left in his last term. Okay, well, you can do a lot in 2 years, and he'd also help decide the next elected person that would come in and take his place, you know,
which is most likely to be his son.
Well, I don't know if that's most likely. I wouldn't necessarily even say that because he hasn't been in politics long enough for what it would probably be. Florida Governor DeSantis would be a great pick. Florida's the place to go, you know, right now. Everything's being right. But point is that election shouldn't stand.
Right. It shouldn't have never gotten away with it as far as they got away with it.
For the record, he'd have, he says, 2 years left. No, he wouldn't. He'd have 3 years left. We're in January.
Yeah, but we're in 2022. By the time the election, that year will be gone, so it will be 2 years
We're not
left.
Talking about by the time, okay, let's
Oh, we're talking about doing it before the
we're
election.
We're talking about if they throw out, and so if I wasn't clear to you, then I wasn't clear to the people, so let me explain one more time. If in these four swing states, they decide that their electors, like two states did, that they were bogus, and they recall them and give the electors to Trump. The other two states follow suit, then, like that, almost, Trump becomes
so
the
So
we've
only got 1 month out of the second year.
So right now, if they all did it in January, they're only 1 month, so he would have almost 3 years.
Yeah, 2 years, 11 months.
Okay, so, and that's how it would go. But, you know, they're going to find, Anyway, but yeah, he even agrees. DeSantis, it would be the one. DeSantis is a great guy. Anyway, moving on to something else. Go with this real quick and we'll talk.
Kansas lawmakers are fighting to get a bill passed so that doctors cannot be punished for prescribing Imvirmentin or hydrochloroquine. The legislative bars the Kansas Board of Healing Arts from punishing physicians who prescribe Imvirmentin, a drug commonly or hydrochloroquine, is also it also requires Kansas pharmacists to fill those prescriptions regardless of their professional judgment.
Okay, so
and I just was I was watching Owen News last night, and they had the Republican Party and the they was doing a court hearing or whatever on the medical experts about the mask mandate and all that, and they were saying that pharmacies, even the doctors that are prescribing it, pharmacies are refusing to
feel it. I know, we already know that. Okay,
I didn't know that.
Stop. Let's back up and stick with Kansas for a minute.
Yeah.
Let me explain.
That's really terrible.
Okay, let me explain to them what you just read. What it is Kansas is passing, is shoving through a law that it says that the doctors can't be punished by anybody for prescribing ivermectin or hydrochloroquine. And also, it passes a law that the pharmacies have to fulfill, have to fill the prescriptions. There are some pharmacies that will already do it, you know, when it's prescribed, but a lot won't. Walmart being at the top of the list. But so, they're going to make it, and so in other words, in Kansas, it will be,
if you get a prescription,
you know, you'll be able to get a prescription. There's another state that's already did it, you know, and across the you know, the world, it's being shut down. You know, the whole thing's being shut down. It really is. In fact, United Kingdom, there's no more mask mandates, and there's at least four other countries that are following suit that have no mask mandates. And so
masks don't work. They're
no mask mandates, no vaccination mandate,
right.
No COVID mask.
None of it works. It's all political.
Well, it's all garbage. Okay, let's go with this. Imvirmectin and more in the news. Read this.
Robert W. Malone, MD, MS. A citywide prevention program using Imvirmectin for COVID-19 was implemented in Tijati, a southern city in Brazil, in the state of Santa Catarina.
Catarina.
Yeah. I like that show.
Well, I've heard of that.
I like that show. Remember Catarina? We watched that whole show. That was about that woman anyway. Yeah, that was a good show. That
okay.
was her name.
Okay.
Anyway, the objective of this study was to evaluate the impact of regular Imbermectin.
Okay, let's define this word.
Imbermectin.
It's ivermectin. Ivermectin.
I've never heard them say it like that.
Well, we're going to call it that.
Ivermectin, okay. Use on subsequent COVID-19 infection and mortality rate versus the ivermectin users.
That's mortality, and that's the word mortality always threw me off, but that means death rate, you know. The study analyzed data from a perspective, an observational study of the citywide COVID prevention with ivermectin program, which was conducted between July 2020 and December 2020 in that city in Brazil. See, that's how you avoid saying that name you can't pronounce. Just say that city. I'm joking, actually. The absence of contradictions, ivermectin was offered as an optional treatment and to be taken for two consecutive days, every 15 days in advance of O2. In other words, they were doing it as a preventive. Study analysts said what?
Consistent and comparing ivermectin users with non-users using cohorts of infected patients propensity score matched the age, sex, and comorbidities. COVID-19 infection and mortality rates were analyzed with and without the use of the propensity score matching PSM.
It's easier to do. What they did the study between people that used it, people who didn't use it, and compared them. Okay, so here's their results.
And the results. There was a 44% reduction in COVID-19 infection rate for the cohorts using ivermectin. And the regular use of ivermectin led to a 68% reduction in COVID-19 mortality death. So once they got it, they took it, they got rid of it, yeah.
There's less people die, you know, really led to 68% reduction in death.
Right.
You know, and there was a 56% reduction in hospitalization among those that used ivermectin. So 68%. Increase in the death rate, and a 56% didn't have to go to the hospital. So there's only a small percent. What would that be too? That would be 12% of the people that only 12% of the people that did get COVID, you know what I mean? There's only a 12% had to go to the hospital. Conclusion from the study, ivermectin was an agent to ward off disease, blah, blah, blah. In other words, the conclusion of the fact is it works. That's all that matters for us to that. Folks, you can find the article over there on where? ProphecyHour.com, ProphecyHour.com. So that's kind of the way that it goes. I mean, ivermectin works. These places are trying to shut it down. Look, if they told you that it worked and it worked, then they'd have to take the vaccine off the market.
Right, because there's a cure and it's not an emergency.
Yeah, emergency use authorization, that's EUA or something like that.
Yeah, that's what they got passed to make people take it.
Right. And in Florida, now see, they did have another drug that was working really good that was curing people, you know, and they've been using it predominantly in Florida. You know, they had clinics set up. You could get it, and it was stopping people from going to the hospital and curing them of COVID. Well, and it was used somewhat across the United States, but Biden just stopped it, said you can't use that no more. There's no more emergency use authorization. Now, here's something that's tried and tested that's working that they pull it. You know, to me, that's a crime against humanity. At some point, I mean, The world needs to rise up and hold these people accountable.
Yeah, he needs to go to jail.
Well, not only a Biden is a puppet. It isn't just you would if you put through Biden in jail tomorrow, you would just stall it a little bit. You wouldn't accomplish anything. The people that you have to go after is like Fauci. You have to go after him. You have to, and he's countlessly lied and proven that he's unreliable. You'd have to go, like India is. India is going after Bill Gates.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go against the people
who
are actually.
One of them going after Nigeria is going after Soros.
Right. Right. And so these are the people that are doing it, and these are the people that you need to go after. The others are just puppets. They've been bought off.
Yeah, they need to get them, you know, follow the money and get the people financing it.
You know, and now we're just like we're talking about Ukraine. Now, you know what? Ukraine, I wonder where I put that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Ukraine. Okay, we talked about that last week, and we talked about how that we possibly could be going to war with Russia. We're really pushing it. Actually, if you think about it from Russia's point of view, here's what the deal is. You know, we've got a troop build up and things over there. We're putting nuclear missiles just close to their border, really close, just to fly a short distance to Moscow or wherever. And we wouldn't want that. That's what the whole thing of the Cuban Missile Crisis was over. They were moving missiles. Russians were moving missiles down here to Cuba, nuclear missiles, because we had them in Europe too close to their borders, you know. And so they said, hey, stop, stop. And I think the missiles were Romania or someplace, but I don't remember. But the point is it's too close to our border. Well, that's reasonable for both sides not to do that, because right now, because of this, Russia's saying, no, we don't want war. And they, and actually with a breakdown, they don't have enough men yet, even on the border, to actually cause a war to take over the Ukraine. But the point of the matter is they don't, they, in fact, they even sent out a new treaty for us to sign that says that, you know, to calm things down in Europe, and it basically just said, keep your missiles and stuff on your side of the world, and we'll keep our stuff on our side of the world. Well, the Biden said, no, absolutely not. Okay, well, let's go with this. He's already talking about moving nuclear missiles and, you know, Russian base in Cuba again. They're already in the process of doing that. Venezuela, they're also in the process of doing that. And I don't have time, and I'll do it when we come back. I'll find it while we go to break. But, you know, Dmitry Dudeman said that when this does finally happen and Russia attacks America, part of it's going to come from those two places. It's going to come from Cuba and Venezuela, places like that, you know, South America, to attack the United States. We're being pushed into that.
Yeah.
We're being pushed into that. And why is Biden pushing us into that? He thinks that by standing up, being a strong guy, that he's going to win votes back. But he's not, because most of America, they took polls, and most of America is in total disagreement. Don't do anything with Ukraine. Let it go. Let it go. We don't need to do anything. But that's where it's at. Tell them where they can find us. We'll go to break.
Okay. You can find all the mission updates, all the radio program archives, and all of our contact information is at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Whether you are pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-rath, or post-trib, whatever your position is, this book will help you to find the truth. If you're really looking for the truth about the rapture, I honestly believe you will find it in this book. It'll settle in your spirit, because the truth is the Holy Spirit knows the truth about the rapture. And one of the reasons that the people other than post-trib can't seem to find peace about this is because the Holy Spirit is trying to tell them that they don't have the truth. That is, until they find post-trib. But either way, this is going to help you to find the peace about the rapture. I really recommend you get it. We offer them in shrink wrap sets of 10. 1 for 20, 10 for 30, and 20 for 50 at prophecyclub.com. 1 for 20, but don't do that. 10 for 30, 20 for 50, give you extras to give to your friends. Because once you read this one, you're going to be handing this to your pastors, to all of your Christian friends, and just ask them to read it. If they get through the first chapter, they're going to read the whole book, and they're going to love it, and it's going to help them to really find the truth about the rapture. HowPreTrib1@prophecyclub.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to the Messiah's Branch
Radio
Prophecy Hour on
American Voice Radio Network.
You didn't speak up. Anyway, thanks for hitting the button. I had us muted, folks, and my wife unmuted us just before I started talking. Anyway, going back in what we were talking about last week, basically. America being in a nuclear war, I don't believe that's like tomorrow or the next day, but it could come at any time because we don't know what degree these things will happen. But what Moscow basically wants, Moscow demanded that NATO curb military exercises in Ukraine and other former Soviet nations, and the alliance pull its forces back from the eastern member states. And so that's basically what they're saying. Just pull back and quit doing it so close to our border. We made the same complaint when they went to Cuba. We almost came into nuclear war over the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know. Anyway, and so that's basically what they're saying. If not, that's all going to be replayed. And it's all because what? Because Biden has lost popularity, not that he was ever really that popular. But the point is they know they're in trouble in 2022, you know. And that is this year for their midterm elections, because they're going to be thrown out. And unless they figure a way to steal the elections, they're going to be thrown out. I mean, not Biden, and we're hoping that is. If you get caught the first part of the program, you know, two of the four swing states are right now working on through the process of pulling their electoral votes back to give them to Trump. That's two of four states that need it. So the point is unless they do something to gain popularity or to declare a state of emergency, then, you know, it's over for them.
I'm looking for them to do, state of emergency, martial law.
Well, right, there's a difference between martial law and this last time over the COVID, it wasn't even martial law, it was, martial law is a lot different.
Yeah, I know. They got the cops in the street and curfew.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, they would have to have some, you know, another bunch of people dying or something. I don't know. They will have to do something in order to create that. They haven't created it right now because, like I say, all across the world, the countries are back out of the vaccine thing and everything else, you know. That's going away. And people are also protest worldwide. People are sick of it now. They're finally rising up, like all the truckers in Canada. You know, that's 11,000 miles.
Just gave me a warning that my post was against community standards, and I didn't even post it. I just shared it. The truckers with all the trucks.
It says
this goes against community standards. Just misinformation. There's no proof that proves these trucks are even connected with Canada.
There's 11,
and they give you no way to reply to their.
No, of course not. But there's 11,000 miles of truckers.
Yeah, the one that I posted, they
I know
got me in trouble for it. Wasn't even my post; I just shared it.
Yeah, was it one of mine I sent over there?
No, it was from somebody in Ohio.
Well, you know what? It's hard to tell where any of these posts originate from, actually, because. I post something and 10 minutes later, 20 other people have posted
it. Yeah, it says because you mislead people. Well, how many of their posts mislead people? Almost every one of them.
Okay, I don't want to waste too much time on
Facebook.
On Facebook. Okay, anyway, so what was I saying? Oh, okay, here's the part. In Dimitri Dudeman's thing, it says it right here. I probably ought to just read it. Okay. Folks, I just sent it over to my webpage, you know, prophecyhour.com. You also find it at the pastor's page. But here's the message for America. I'm gonna skip most of it because I have something else I want to get to. But I'm gonna tell you what this ain't. This was an angel, and he was talking to Dimitri Dudeman, and he says it wasn't a dream. He wasn't asleep. It was not a vision. He was awake as he is now. This was a visitation by an angel to Dimitri Dudeman.
And for those that don't know, Dimitri Dudeman has passed away, and this was way back in 1984.
Right. Anyway, let's go. We'll just go with this part of it. Okay, this is what the angel said to him. This is in part. There's a lot of it over there. You need to go over there and read the whole thing, but... The angel said to Dimitri Dudeman, he showed me all about California and said, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. And all of this, in one day it'll burn. Its sin has reached the Holy One. And then he took me to Las Vegas. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it'll burn. Then he showed me the state of New York. You know what this is, he asked? And I said, no. He said, this is New York. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. Then he showed me all of Florida. And said, this is Florida. He said, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. And one day it will burn. Then he took me back home to the rock where we began and said, and begun. And one day it will burn. All this I have shown you. And said, how will it burn? And so Dimitri said, how will it burn? And the angel said, remember, I'm telling you, because you will go on television and radio and in churches, and you must tell them with a loud voice, do not be afraid, because I will be with you. How will I be able to go? Who knows me here in America? Stan Johnson put him on tour and got his message out to America, and Stan is still putting that message out. That's the Prophecy Club. He says, who knows me here in America? I don't know anybody here. He said, don't worry yourself. I will go before you. I will do a lot of healing in the American churches, and I will open doors for you. But do not say anything else besides what I tell you. This country will burn. I said, what will you do with the church? He said, I want to save the church, but the churches have forsaken me. I said, well, how did they forsake you? He said, these people praise themselves. The honor that the people are supposed to give Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah, they take upon themselves. In the churches, there are divorces. There's adultery in the churches. There are homosexuals in the churches. There's abortion in the churches and all other sins that are possible. Because of all the sin, I have left some of the churches. You must yell in a loud voice that they must put an end to their sinning. They must turn towards the Lord. The Lord never gets tired of forgiving. They must draw close to the Lord and live a clean life. If they have sinned until now, they must put an end to it and start a new life as the Bible tells them to live. And I said, Dimitri says, well, how will America burn? America is the most powerful country in the world. Why did you bring us here to burn? Why didn't you at least let us die where all the Dudemans have died? And he's from Romania. Anyway, he said, remember this, Dudeman. The Russian spies have discovered there are nuclear warehouses in America. When the Americans think that it is peace and safety from the middle of the country, some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the ocean, from Cuba, Nicaragua, Mexico, and he told me two other countries, but I don't remember what they was. That's what Dudeman says. They will bomb the nuclear warehouses, and then... when they explode, America will burn. Now, these cities that we're talking about, except for Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, or for Nevada, are all coastal cities in America. And it goes along with a lot of other prophecies that other people have said. They've seen attacks on America and attacked the coast because, you know, they don't want to ruin the inner part of America because that's where grain and goods and all the stuff they need to, because we import food to them. They don't want to destroy the food. That will be enough to kill America. Anyway, so he says, what will you do with the church of the Lord? And he says, how will you save the ones that turn towards you? I asked. He says, well, tell them this, how I saved the three young ones from the furnace of fire and how I saved Daniel and the lion's den is the same way I will save them. The angel of the Lord also told me, I bless this country because of the Jewish people that are in this country. I have 7 million Jews in this country, but they do not want to recognize the Lord. They didn't want to thank God for the blessing they received in this country. Israel doesn't want to recognize Jesus Christ. They put their faith in the Jewish people in America. But when America burns, the Lord will raise up China, Japan, and other nations to go against the Russians. But so anyway, you need to go over there and read the rest of that vision. While I believe this prophecy in part is coming to pass because we're being forced into a conflict with Russia. We don't have, I don't believe they already have their nuclear missiles and things in Nicaragua and Cuba and such, but they're talking, they're saying they're going to be forced into doing it, and this is it forcing them. So, anyway, there's that part of it. Now then, we need to move on down to this. This is a big deal. Can you see that better here or over here?
Over there.
Over here?
Yeah.
Okay. Go right here. New York Times admits. Go ahead.
The New York Times admits children's sacrifice for adults during COVID crisis, like Moloch, Israel rabbi charges, and Adam Eliyahu Ben-Sharoff.
That's Berkowitz.
Berkowitz. January 5th, 2022, Biblical News.
The only reason I can pronounce his name is because I've heard it pronounced before. I couldn't look at it and pronounce it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
But what troubles you? The king asked her. The woman answered, that woman said to me, give up your son and we will eat him today and tomorrow we'll eat my son. King 6:28, the Israeli Bible.
Right. That's just that's just a scripture they gave along with the thing. Okay.
David Leonhardt wrote an opinion article in the New York Times Morning Newsletter on Tuesday titled No Way to Grow Up, in which he positioned that Americans have accepted more harm to children in exchange for less harm to adults. This sacrifice is precisely the attitude that the Israelites had when sacrificing their children to the Canaanite deity Moloch and Israeli rabbi charges. American children are starting 2022 in crisis, Leonhardt said, or wrote. I have long been aware that the pandemic was upending children's lives. But until I spent time pulling together data and reading reports, I did not understand how alarming the situation had become. Among the sacrifices forced upon children was that they fell far behind in school during the first year of the pandemic and have not caught up. He also cited data showing an increase in mental health problems, adolescent suicide attempts, gun violence, and other behavioral issues amongst children since the end of 2019. Leonhardt acknowledged that the large parts of the society's falsely believed children would inevitably suffer from the virus. For the past 2 years, large parts of American society have decided harming children was an unavoidable side effect of the COVID-19. Leonhardt wrote, and that was probably true in the spring of 2020 when nearly all the society shut down to slow the spread of a deadly and mysterious virus. Leonhardt stated that the suffering forced onto children to suffer was in fact unnecessary since the vaccine became widely available. The widespread availability of vaccines since last spring also raises an ethical question. Should children suffer to protect unvaccinated adults who are voluntarily accepting COVID risk for themselves and increasingly everybody else's risk too, Leonhardt said. Right now, the United States is effectively saying yes. Many communities have accepted more harm to children in exchange for less harm to adults, often without knowledge the dilemma or assessing which decisions led to these less overall harm, Leonhardt concluded.
Okay, and so in part of this, what they're saying is now they're going to vaccinate the children and made the children suffer to protect the adults, because we know that the death rate, and that's fact, the death and effective rate of COVID on the children is just almost nil, nothing, you know. A few children have been sick for it, and I've got a ton of other articles that say, in fact, that most of the children that they claim that are in hospitals or not because of COVID. It's just that they went to hospital for something else and they tested positive for COVID. So they're, you understand the difference.
And most of them has probably been vaccinated from the vaccine.
Well, you're missing that point. The point is that they're not there because they're sick with COVID. They're sick from something else. And so they use the example of like a broken arm, but they tested positive from COVID. So they count it as a COVID hospitalization instead of the broken arm, which actually put them in the hospital. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Anyway, so they go on. Blue states like New York.
Blue states like New York, California, and other areas that have kept harsh COVID-19 measures ongoing and have been the main drivers of the problems facing children, the Daily Wire noted. Linehart's is either oblivious or willfully obtuse to that reality.
In other words, they're oblivious, they're totally ignoring it or willfully ignoring it. Either they're ignoring it by accident because they're just stupid, or they're just willfully doing it. go ahead.
Mark Walsh, a conservative commentator, was even more critical. We do grasp the depth of it, Walsh tweeted. We've been saying this for 2 years, but people like you ignore us, and now you're pretending this was some kind of infamy. You had on your own. Embedded within the mainstream pandemic narrative is an implicit death wish for children. In an interview on NSNBC last week, Dr. Anthony Fauci admitted that the method of recording death was skewed, dooming many children to a COVID sentence unjustifiably.
Okay, I'll read this part. Fauci says, if you look at the children who are hospitalized, many of them are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to being because of COVID, Fauci added. And so Fauci just admitted what I said. He added, what we mean by that is if a child goes in the hospital, they automatically get tested for COVID. And if they get counted as a COVID hospitalization individual, when in fact they go in for a broken leg or appendicitis or something like that. So it's overcounting the number of children who are, quote, hospitalized with COVID as opposed to being because of COVID. And so they're talking about how bad the children are suffering, you know. But let's go on over here. Let's go clearly to the biblical take on it. So children are suffering. And it's really dramatic how they're suffering, but let's go to the biblical side of it.
Okay, Rabbi Chanani Westman has been commenting on the pandemic from the Torah-based perspective in a debate. He sees many parallels between biblical idolatry and the modern left wing. We tend to look down on ancient idolaters as primitive fools. Rabbi Weissman wrote, they were nothing of the sort. Idolatry was deeply intertwined with the prevailing science and physiology of the times, and its proponents were intellectually sophisticated. Those who believe that people today are intellectually advanced compared to the people of ancient times are sorely mistaken. We compare favorably to them only in the realm of technology and only because we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. Intellectually, religiously, and morally, we have nothing to brag about. Idolatrous practices were outlined in scientific books about nature and agriculture. Science and idolatry were one of the same. Changing idolatry was synonymous with challenging established science. It was considered a threat to the public health and safety and dealt with accordingly. The rabbi emphasized that just as the priest of idolatry preached that paganism was the only solution to the threat of Mother Nature, modern scientists had claimed to be the sole salvation against the nature of gone wild. When people are afraid that they do not think rationally, and they will take extreme actions to
assuage their fears. In other words, to relieve their fears.
Okay.
they'll do, people will do anything to assuage their fears. So the rabbi also noted a day earlier the notion of worshiping a golden calf would have been preposterous, but once the Jews were afraid, they immediately panicked and rushed to us. Today, the same phenomenon is happening. They're being relentlessly urged that if we don't take an experimental vaccine today, we will die a horrible death from COVID tomorrow and bring down the rest of humanity with us. There is no time to think or deliberate. No decent person who cares about human life would dare think and deliberate what we are told. This is an emergency. It's a war on COVID. Either you're a friend or you're a foe. So what the rabbi is saying, I'll just go into it. What the rabbi is saying is that the reason they sacrifice, any society makes a sacrifice, is to get favorability with whatever god they're sacrificing to. So the Moloch, the god of Moloch, you know, they burnt their children alive as a sacrifice to save the people to get good crops and to, you know, to push Mother away to nature to get, you know, good things. It's the same thing what they're saying today. Today we're sacrificing all of our children. It'll be hurt for generations. It's a sacrifice so the adults that are living, which are the ones that are dying from COVID, basically, in their eyes, because the children, as we discussed, really aren't dying from COVID, but the adults are. So the adults are going to making the children suffer, so the adults will be saved. You understand? So that's the same way a sacrifice to Moloch is. They sacrifice the children so that the population in whole would be saved. And to find favoritism with the God. So it's the same thing. It's the same principle going on. It's the same way, you know, so we are doing those paganistic things and the children are being sacrificed and that's what's going on. Anyway, folks, all these articles you can go over and check out at prophecyhour.com. Go over and check them out and also check out the pastor's page when you're there. Pray about supporting radio, but something else I want to talk to you about. I did find we're talking about intermectin. And hydrochloroquine, I found a really good place to buy it in bulk. And, you know, folks, all of you should probably, I would suggest to all of you, I know we might be able to do it by prescription here in Kansas soon, but I would suggest getting some, if at all possible, and, you know, enough for members of your family that if they get sick, or you can take it like intermectin, you take, it's only one pill once a week, of a 3-gram pill or whatever that will help prevent you from even getting COVID in the first place. And you know what it does. It makes the intervectin makes the zinc and other things be able to get, you know, into where it's supposed to be. So it's, and I'm not a doctor or nothing, but I strongly suggest that you stockpile some. I want to stockpile some because I can see, you know, I'm about lives and helping people. So I would really like to, so pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. I'd really like to stockpile some of this stuff so I can use it if I need to, and help prevent some people from getting sick. So if you would like to make a donation, just, if you make a donation, just make sure you tell me what it's for. You know what I mean? But in the meantime, because of COVID and stuff, we're behind in paying the ministry bills and stuff. What's going on? How much money do you need?
Oh, I'm about 700 short this month.
700 short, and that's for what? That's paying ministry bills, you know,
yeah.
the gas,
the last
electric,
of the month,
you know,
bills
all
that
those
are
things.
Due to 28, yeah.
Right. And that's went down. And it, but every year, even when it isn't COVID things, you know, people overspend in the months leading up to the new year, and then it takes January, February for them to start back donating regular.
I think most of my problem is the mail's being real slow, so hopefully it'll be in the mail tomorrow, and I'll be okay.
Well, hopefully. You don't know that.
No, I don't know that. I'm just saying that's most of my problem, I think.
Right. Well, but it, folks, I know I watch her. She's, it's actually dramatically late. If there's, if that's all that it is, it's a mail going, so it's dramatically late. Point is right now we're over $700 behind in the ministry bills, and, you know, we can't afford to get those shut off. We can't, we have people that are counting on us. How many people do you normally feed?
We did 88 Friday, so it's been in the 80s. I think mostly all month it's been in the 80s.
Right, right, right. And, you know, we can always tell from my wife's attitude, she says, oh, hopefully it'll be there tomorrow. It'll always work out. Well, it does work out. But, you know, it also works out because you people are the one that keep us going. She sit here and says, yeah, well, the Lord works it out. But how does the Lord work it out? He uses the people that listen to us on radio to send you that money. And so, therefore, that's how it always works out. And so I'm telling you, folks, we need your help. So pray about, you know, what's the number? What are your numbers? We're seeing more people.
Yeah, it's like three times. We was doing like before COVID, we were served, but we served, but it's different because we were open and we served food all day long. But we served egg sandwiches and donuts and stuff all day long. So we were only doing like 38 to 40, but sometimes we still did 50, 60 plates.
I know we were doing 60 plates.
Yeah, then
towards
the end. But now that we're closed, we just do a dinner plate, and we've been in the hundreds.
Right.
With it being this cold, we've been in the 80s, which is still a lot for people to come down there and below freezing weather to get a plate of food.
Yeah, they wait out in the cold for a plate. Okay, so you can tell them how to donate online. We ain't got much time. We've got to get out of here.
Yeah, you can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all of our contact information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And you can find all the mission updates, all the radio program archives, and everything is at prophecyhour.com. If you wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. Because it's not free, and all donations help, and they all come from your heart. So just pray about it. Be led by the Father.
Okay. Well, she said for once she kept talking, right, folks? Anyway, so pray about it. And if you want to help me out with some medication to help people, let me know about that anyway. But we do need, like I say, we're $700 behind our what we normally have at this time of the month. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and support Talk Radio. All right, remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what, Mother?
Always be a blessing to others. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for Messiah's return.
Okay. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, that you'd please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one else can. Until an hour, until next week.
Yeah, it's not an hour from now because I'm on 7 o'clock instead of 5.
Okay, until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.